Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 173 to close at 25,635. S&P 500 Index up 17 at 2,755. NASDAQ Composite up 47 at 7,375. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 8 at 1556, yield on the 10-year Treasury up 1 basis point at 3.21%. Oil down $1.40 at $61.70 per barrel. Gold down $4.20 at $12.2740 per ounce. Today is the day. This is not a drill. The first polls back east have closed. As more polls close over the next couple of hours, we might start to see some trends develop. There is still in people's minds the idea that there could be a surprise. Most people are waiting to see what the results are before they make any major investment decisions. There's a strong possibility that the election could result in political gridlock. There could be another leg higher if we get gridlock because the existing economic agenda won't be altered materially. Or we could get a rally just because the elections are finally over and there is some sense of certainty. Truth is, nobody knows how the election will unfold. Nobody knows how it will impact the markets. We will only know in the fullness of time. The trend in Congress is less. A Washington Post ProPublica analysis found a weakened legislative branch in which debate is strictly curtailed. Party leaders dictate the agenda. Most elected representatives rarely get a say, and government shutdowns are a regular threat. For just one empirical example, in 2005 and 2006, House committees met 449 times to consider legislation. Senate committees met 252 times. But by 2015 and 2016, 10 years later, they met only 254 and 69 times, respectively. Beyond electing governors, members of the Senate and House, voters in 37 states will decide on 155 statewide ballot measures. Those measures range from displaying the Ten Commandments on state property in Alabama to legalizing casino gambling in Florida. Additionally, 15 states will vote on measures relating to election policy, such as voting requirements and campaign finance. Also on the ballot in 4 states are initiatives to legalize marijuana usage. Voters in North Dakota and Michigan will be deciding on legalizing recreational marijuana, while in Missouri and Utah, voters will decide on the legalization of medical marijuana. Oklahoma recently legalized medical marijuana through a ballot initiative earlier this year. Both Arkansas and Missouri will be voting on initiatives to raise the minimum wage. In Arkansas, which is currently ranked as the second lowest cost of living state, the minimum wage is currently $8.50. The ballot initiative, if passed, would raise the minimum wage in the state incrementally to reach $11 an hour by 2021. And over in Missouri, which is currently ranked as the seventh lowest cost of living state, the minimum wage is currently $7.85 an hour. If voters approve of the initiative by 2023, the minimum wage will be $12 an hour. Given that voters will be the ones to determine whether or not the minimum wage is increased in 2 states as opposed to elected representatives, since January 2014, 27 states and Washington, D.C. have increased their minimum wages. Now, state ballot measures aren't getting the same attention as this year's key congressional races, but they are leading to big spending by companies hoping to win over voters. In Montana, tobacco giant Altria Group has shelled out $17 million to fight against a ballot initiative that aims to fund an expansion of Medicaid through additional taxes on tobacco products. Montana's ballot measure would lead to an additional $2 per pack tax on cigarettes, as well as new levies on e-cigarettes. And in California, dialysis provider DaVita has spent $67 million to battle Proposition 8, which proposes limits on how much clinics can charge for dialysis, a vital treatment for people with kidney disease. Also in the Golden State, investment firm Blackstone Group is funding a push back against Prop 10, which would give localities more authority to pursue rent control. Problems with voting machines were preventing some Americans from casting ballots in about a dozen states earlier today. The Homeland Security official said the agency had received reports of sparse voting technology failures, but said so far they appeared to have had no significant impact in preventing people from voting. The economy's strong. We had a reminder this morning when the Labor Department released the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, also known as JOLTS. The number of job openings in the U.S. fell in September, just a month after setting an all-time high, but companies are still scrambling to find workers and offering higher pay and benefits to attract them. Job openings slipped to 7,000 on the last day of September, down from a record 7.3 million in August. Even after the decline, job openings still exceed the 6.1 million Americans officially classified as unemployed. Job openings first surpassed the number of unemployed in the early spring. The share of people who left jobs on their own is known as the quits rate. That was unchanged at 2.7% among private sector employees. That's the highest level during the current expansion. It's close to the record high of 2.9% set back in 2001. Workers quit their jobs more often when they feel secure enough to find another job. It's a sign the economy is strong. And typically, workers who move end up with better pay. Job openings increased in transportation, healthcare, and restaurants. Somewhat fewer jobs were available in most other industries, such as construction and manufacturing. The Food and Drug Administration has approved an opiate painkiller tablet called Dysuvia. It's 1,000 times stronger than morphine, 10 times stronger than fentanyl. It's meant to be used in hospitals as a fast-acting alternative to intravenous painkillers. U.S. businesses paid out $4.4 billion in tariffs in September. It's a surge of more than 50% from the same month a year ago. The increase was largely driven by $1.4 billion in Trump administration tariffs on Chinese imports and foreign steel and aluminum. In March, Trump announced new duties on all steel and aluminum imports, citing national security concerns. Well, the measures cost U.S. companies about $545 million in September. Even more costly were tariffs levied against China, which the administration has accused of stealing U.S. intellectual property. Those tariffs accounted for $800 million in September, even though the bulk didn't take effect until the end of the month. U.S. exports also suffered as countries fought back with tariffs of their own on American products, ranging from soybeans to bourbon to cheese. Shipments of products subject to retaliatory tariffs declined by $2.5 billion, or 26% from the previous year. At the same time, products not subject to those tariffs remained steady. Since withdrawing in May from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, Trump has been looking for ways to turn up the pressure on the Iranian regime. Yesterday, U.S. sanctions on Iran's vital oil industry went into force, and the U.S. administration is ready to go even further by imposing secondary sanctions on other countries with the goal of shutting Iran out of the dollar-based global economy entirely. To that end, the U.S. wants to bar Iranian banks from the Society for World Interbank Financial Telecommunications, SWIFT, and the global payment system that it oversees. Now, this would effectively send Iran back to pre-globalization dark ages. The problem for Trump and his advisors, though, is that SWIFT is not a U.S. institution. It's registered and based in Belgium, which, along with the European Union's 27 other member states, supports the JCPOA. In theory, targeted sanctions are a way to precisely focus the economic pain of sanctions. The new sanctions that went into effect yesterday and the add-on secondary sanctions against companies that maintain relations with Iran, well, that's more like a cluster bomb. And the damage is widespread. The U.S. has been demanding compliance by threatening individuals on European corporate boards, including the directors of SWIFT, with targeted sanctions. Even more shocking, similar threats have reportedly been made against key European public officials. European leaders request to the European Investment Bank, the EIB, for its help in supporting the Iran nuclear deal does not seem to have borne fruit, most likely owing to U.S. threats against the EIB's corporate interest and directors. Moreover, there are even rumors of veiled U.S. threats against central bankers, including the directors of the European Central Bank. In the near term, the question for Europeans is how to hold their own in a dollar-denominated world. Over time, the EU and others will make the case for a foreign exchange that's not ruled by the dollar, and that might be the most dangerous aspect of Iran's sanctions. Dow Industrial's up 173 at 25,635. S&P 500 up 17 at 2755. NASDAQ up 47 at 7375. MoneyRadio.com, live streaming and archived audio, daily blog, eatthebankers.com.